There are a lot of believers who are listening to voices that are not the Lord's, and they're being led astray by those who would claim to have a word from God or whatever it might be. But yet, as we're going to see, God is very clear concerning how he speaks to us today.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Greg, today we'll begin a series of sermons designed to draw our minds and hearts towards the message of Christmas.
You know, Dave, right now people are hearing all kinds of things about what would be called the true meaning of Christmas, and yet, sadly, most of what's being put out really has nothing to do with the true meaning of the Christmas story. So what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is to look at the Christmas story through the lens of Scripture. Today we're going to begin with Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So if you have a Bible handy, I'd invite you to turn there as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, if you've been a Christian for very long, or you've visited different churches or denominations, you understand there's a lot of different views out in so-called Christendom about how God speaks. You might go to one church and they're going to say, I have a word from God for you. The Lord has told me this. You might even know believers say, hey, the Lord told me this about you. The Lord told me, you might hear things like that. You might hear that, hey, I had a dream about something like this and I think God is talking to us. You might hear a lot of different things. We had a person in our old church who had, through some dreams, felt that God had told her she was a teacher. And guess what? That person kept focusing on that. Well, was that God speaking to her? Was it the pizza? We don't know. But what we're going to look at today is how God truly speaks. Not from my opinion or your opinion, but from God's word. Because there are a lot of believers, and some believers, some non-believers, make-believers, who are listening to voices that are not the Lord's. And they're being led astray by those who would claim to have a word from God or whatever it might be. But yet, as we're going to see, God is very clear concerning how he speaks to us today. As you turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, and we're beginning our time of looking towards Christmas as we focus on today, what child is this? We're going to see from Hebrews 1 who this child really was and is now. We're also going to see how God speaks today. And this will be helpful to come alongside those who may be led astray because it gets so ingrained in them when they start having experiential knowledge of God. And they don't want to hear the word, basically, even though they'll say, I believe it. But they seem to defer to those experiences or whatever it might be rather than the truth. And so we need to be able to share the truth for their sakes, that they might be set free, but also for our sakes, that we would not be taken captive. Again, Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3. Now, the writer of Hebrews is unknown, but we do know that it was written by the Spirit, a man inspired by the Spirit of God. We don't know the exact author, but we know God wrote it through men. He inspired by his Spirit through men. And it was written sometime between 33 AD and 70 AD, sometime after the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ and before the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, who was it written to? Well, specifically, it was written exclusively to Jews who were being persecuted and were in need of endurance. Now, we don't know the exact location of where these Hebrews were, but we do know in Hebrews chapter 2 that they apparently had been evangelized by the apostles and prophets sometime after Christ's ascension. We know the author states in chapter 13, verse 22, that this is a word of exhortation. Now, that would be kind of synonymous for a Jewish sermon that you would see in a synagogue. We see it in Acts chapter 13, verse 15. Now, this word of exhortation has a Christological focus, has a Christ focus, with exhortations and warnings woven throughout. Now, it's apparent that there was a group within the group that it's written to who had a said faith in Jesus, but were tempted to turn away from the only Savior back to Judaism, to apostatize, not that they had accepted Christ, but they'd known about Him, they had seen the truths and understood the truth, but they were ready to turn away from that. And so we have multiple warnings throughout this book to warn them not to turn away from the only one who can save them. Now, this was not written to prove that Christianity is superior to Judaism. It was written to prove that Christ and His new covenant is superior to the old covenant, which was a type and shadow of what would be fulfilled in the new covenant in Christ. Now, in the beginning of this book, in the portion that we're in, actually after this introduction, we see that the author is proving that Jesus is superior to angels, the messengers of the old covenant. And then He is superior to Moses, the apostle of the old covenant. Then He is a superior high priest who mediates a superior covenant based on a superior once-for-all sacrifice, which has brought eternal redemption and forgiveness of sins and access to God. Now, the main theme of this book is actually revealed in these first three verses, which we will see. And it is sealed back in bookends in chapter 12, verse 25, where we are exhorted to see to it that you listen to Him, that you don't refuse who is speaking. We need to listen to Him. It's all about listening to Jesus through His Word. We need to listen to Him because there's no other way to have a relationship with God other than through Jesus Christ. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, God who took on human flesh and bore our sins in His body on the cross. So then, as we enter this time of getting close to Christmas, I felt it would be a blessing for us to look at again, what child is this? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions, in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than angels as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. Now, we're just going to look at the first three verses. The fourth verse there seems to bring it into the case that's being made for this first section, that Jesus is greater than angels in that context. Now, we're going to see two things today. We're going to see how God spoke previously. And by the way, the hucksters take all those previous methods and they try to apply them today. And that's how they trick people. That's how they deceive people. But God is clear that He speaks now, as we'll see, in a certain way. How He spoke previously, and we're going to see how He speaks today from His Word. Verse 1, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions, in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son. Now, what's the subject here? Notice right away, it's about God. God, it's about God. The first word, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers. We need to come to Scripture to look for the right thing. So often we come to look for us. We come to look for us. We look for our solution to our problems. But what we don't realize is that God is the solution to our problems. We need to see things from His perspective. We need to come to the Word of God to see Him and to hear from Him. That's really what we need to do. We are not the main subject. Scripture is primarily about the Lord, what He does and what He's done for us. It's about God. It's about God. Now, if you get that right, that'll help you in your interpretation of a lot of things, if you get that right. So here, notice what our text says. God, after He spoke. Notice again, it's speaking of God. And here it says, after He spoke. It's in an aorist participle. What does that mean? You could literally translate it this way. God, after having spoken. It's speaking of a done deal, but it can't stand on its own. There's going to be a main verb connected to it. We're going to see that. And it goes like this. The structure of our passage is God, after having spoken, then verse 2, has spoken. God, after having spoken, has spoken. And He spoke to the fathers in the prophets. He has spoken to us now. We're going to see that. And notice back in our passage in verse 1, God, after He spoke long ago. Well, we think long ago was back in the 80s, right? Long ago is a long time. It speaks of in the past, formerly, long ago, of olden times. Of olden times. Now notice whom our text says he spoke to. It's very important. He didn't speak to everybody directly. He spoke to the fathers, here we see, in the prophets. First of all, to the fathers, what does that mean? These are the Jewish ancestors, their forefathers. God, after he spoke long ago, a long time back, to the fathers. And how did he speak? In the prophets. Or literally you could say, by means of the prophets to the fathers, God having spoken to them long ago. God spoke to Israel in the past, completed action, by means of the prophets. And who were the prophets? Simply put, they were God's mouthpieces. They spoke his word. 2 Peter 1:21, but know this first of all. Now, I read a lot of scriptures. Feel free to jot the references down and come back and look at them later. Sometimes I'll have you turn to them and read with me, but just jot those references down. 2 Peter 1:20, but know this first of all, Peter says, that no prophecy of scripture, that's prophecy of written words. When you see the word scripture in the scriptures, that means written word, graphe, is a matter of one's own interpretation, but for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Spirit spoke from God. So we have these men moved by the Spirit. They spoke from God. Now we see in the Old Testament prophets, they were to announce God's word and turn people from their sin. Nothing's changed now. That's what God's word does right now. We see here, you might remember in Jeremiah 23, when the Lord Jesus is reproving the false prophets, in that reproof, he explains what the true prophets should have been doing. He says in Jeremiah 23:21, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. That's what God's prophets did, announced his word. And we see in the New Testament that there's reference to these prophets speaking of the person of Christ. 1 Peter 1:10, concerning a tremendous salvation that we have. Go ahead and turn there. 1 Peter 1:10. Concerning this tremendous salvation we have, we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a tremendous salvation. It's an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. Tremendous. And as to this salvation, 1 Peter 1:10, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, verse 11, 1 Peter 1:11, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. And what's interesting, it was revealed to them, notice this, that they were not serving themselves, but you. They're serving us. Serving you in the things which have now been announced through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long peer over, so interested to look at, long to look. We know from Acts chapter 10 that Peter, as he shares the gospel to the Gentiles for the first time in that context, he says in verse 43, of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. They bear witness of Jesus. So God spoke his word through the prophets. They were his mouthpieces, and he did so long ago to his nation, Israel, to the fathers in the prophets. Now notice, back in our passage, we have some modifying adjectives. I was terrible in English. Now God asked me doing English in Greek here, right? We have some adjectives here. We have two modifying adjectives here. He says here that he did so in many portions and in many ways. He's going to say how God spoke to the fathers in the prophets through many portions and many ways. The term many portions is many parts. That's really what it means. And many parts. Bit by bit. Part by part. A lot of them. A lot of bits. A lot of parts. Many times. Bit by bit. God has spoken many times. Part by part. Bit by bit. To the fathers in and through the prophets. Indeed, over a period of 1,500 years, Through more than 40 inspired writers, God spoke bit by bit, slowly revealing his truth through the prophets to Israel and now us through the scriptures. That's what we call progressive revelation, where God's revelation, his truth, progressed over time, bit by bit by bit by bit. God slowly and progressively gave one piece of the puzzle after another. Now, during this time of progressive revelation, the bad guys will pull out little pieces and try to apply them wrongly now. We need to see them how they apply now based in their right context in the past. So God slowly and progressively gave one piece of the puzzle, one piece after another, in many portions or parts. He didn't give all of his revelation at once. He gave it through the prophets to the fathers in many parts. And then notice he also did it in many ways or many manners or methods. He did it differently, bit by bit, many times and many ways, various methods and ways. Just look throughout the Old Testament and how many different methods or ways God spoke to his people, Israel. He spoke to Abraham in Ur and Haran and Canaan. He spoke to Joseph in a dream. He spoke to Jacob in a dream, to Moses in the burning bush, and then face to face in Mount Sinai, to the mad prophet Balaam through a donkey, to Joshua face to face with the captains of the Lord's armies, captain of the host of the Lord, sword drawn, to Elijah in a still small voice, to Isaiah in a vision in the temple, to Ezekiel through a grand vision of God on the throne and through him by strange signs and wonders, in a sense, to Hosea through his family circumstances, to Amos in a basket of summer fruit. God might convey his message through visions and dreams, through angels, through symbols, through natural events, pillar of fire, smoke, and other means. He could appear in Ur, the Chaldees, in Haran, in Canaan, in Egypt. There was no lack of variety. God spoke in a variety of ways. So now we know and understand he spoke formally to them in the past, and it was given progressively, bit by bit, in many different ways. God is saying, this is how it happened. Now remember, he's speaking to Hebrews. That's who this is written to. He's helping them see the past history of how God revealed himself, and then how he reveals himself now. Yet, so you see, before the incarnation, all this Old Testament revelation was essentially incomplete. We know this progressive revelation was moving forward to a point, but more appropriately to a person, the person of Jesus Christ, moving to focus on who he was. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he rose from the dead and he was walking on that road to Emmaus, having concealed his identity from those dejected disciples who were walking away in Luke 24, he says to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all the prophets had spoken." Notice it's the prophets, right? It's what they had spoken in the Old Testament. "Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Then Luke 24:44, and he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while still with you. The things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets, Psalms, must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. All this revelation pointed to Jesus Christ. All this revelation pointed to what he would do and what God had planned. And so then, God's previously spoke through his prophets bit by bit in various ways. Well, how does he speak today? You could go to a church today and they're going to tell you, "Hey, I got a word from God." I remember this terrible show on the TV where the guy said, "I'm getting a word from God. Larry in Nebraska's knee is being healed right now." You know, he's getting a word from God. Is that really what's happening? Did Larry in Nebraska's knee get healed by God? Or was it a deal? Who knows what that was, right? What I can tell you was that was not God speaking to him. Because what God says in his word is that God, after he spoke long ago, verse 1, to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. And it's really important we see the nuances of this verse carefully. We see this rightly in verse 2. In verse 2 he says, in these last days, eschatu humeron, the last days, the end days. Eschatos speaks of outermost, extreme, outermost, and here with the word days, the last days. We get our word eschatology, speaking of end times. You say, well, what is he saying here? Is he saying we're in the last days? Yes, he is. We are in the end times. You see, time was moving towards a point where Christ would come and die for our sins. It was a time pointing to the grace of God, which would appear and bring salvation to all men. And now time is moving towards judgment. And those who accept God's grace are delivered from judgment. We're in the last days. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, speaking of the blood of Christ, for he was foreknown from the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last days for the sake of you. He appeared for us. 1 Peter 4, 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. We, since Christ came and died for our sins, his next coming is in judgment. We are in the last days. This is a day of salvation, but this is the end of days. We are in the last days. And so he says here, in these last days has, and again, it's an aorist tense, completed action. That's really important. Not is continuing to, but has spoken to us. And that would speak of these Jewish believers, the Jews who were here, to us, those who have been evangelized by the apostles. It's the church. The church is in the last days. When the church is taken by the Lord and we go into that last week of years, 7-year tribulation, it's all over at the end of that. Christ is coming in glory. We are in the last days. And so then, we have that he has spoken to us, has spoken, completed action to us. That would include us as believers now through the scriptures. He has spoken to us. But again, it is a completed action. It doesn't say he is speaking to us. He has spoken to us. This is so important. It's so important. It's so important to show people this. If they're willing to hear it, if they're not willing to hear it, don't argue with them. But if God is working on the heart of those who have squandered their faith in these terrible churches, who've squandered their relationship with the Lord, and you're there to help them, then share the word with them, that they might be set free, that they might confess their sin for listening to other voices. Because God's word says he has spoken to us. This is great. Before, he spoke to the fathers, to Israel, and they were to be a kingdom priest to the world. He spoke to them. Now he's speaking to us, the church. He's speaking to the body of Christ through the word of God. And certainly his word convicts the world of sin and of judgment and of righteousness because they don't believe in Jesus. So notice what he says, he has spoken to us. Now notice this. This is so important. In his Son. All the inferior and incomplete bit by bit, place by place, Old Testament revelation was leading up and focusing to superior revelation through Jesus Christ, his Son. As we saw in Luke, Jesus, after his resurrection, revealed that the Old Testament prophets spoke to and pointed to him. It all pointed to him. Now, the writer of Hebrews here says that Jesus, the Son of God here, he'll say it later on, is the completed Word of God. We'll say he's the Son. He's the Son of God. We know in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, the Christmas story is about Jesus, and as believers, we know that. So why take a couple of weeks of broadcasts to tell us what we already know?
You know, Dave, you're absolutely right. As believers, we know that the Christmas story is about Jesus Christ. But the real question that we're going to answer over the next couple of weeks is, who is Jesus? You see, Dave, right now there's a lot of confusion about the person of Jesus Christ, and if one's not careful, even we as believers can be duped into seeing Jesus wrongly. So it's imperative that we see Jesus rightly in this time in which we celebrate his birth and give him the worship that he is due.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.